Yeah, it's that time of the week again. It's Friday, and Andrew Webster joins us on the phone. Good morning, Webby.
Good morning, Dave, and welcome back, Loz.
Yeah, thank you very much, Webby. I had a really good holiday and really looking forward to getting stuck into all the issues this year. How have you been, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good. I've worked all the way through. Kept the big wheels of the Sydney Morning Herald working all the way through the Christmas break and ready for a break before the season even starts.
Good man. Are you down in Melbourne or are you covering it, the tennis from up here in Sydney?
No. I've been one of those annoying reporters passing opinion on the Australian Open from my desk at Piermont. It's been great.
Well, give us your opinion on Nicky Kyrgios, mate, and the possibility of him representing Australia at the Olympics.
Well, look, they're the stories I've been sort of writing this week about, it's an Olympic year, and I remember covering in great detail the fallout between Kyrgios and Tomic and Kitty Chiller, the chef de mission of the Australian team for the Rio Olympics, and it was pretty ugly stuff 4 years ago. Everything's changed. I spoke to John Coates, the AOC president, and he made the amazing quote that they'd be proud if Nick Kyrgios was to become an Olympian. It's off the back of him sort of rebuilding his reputation. Look, I know there'll be people out there listening that wondering whether it's genuine. I think you should park all the stuff about his bushfire relief stuff. He's been doing charity stuff for years. So, I think that's separate to the on-court Nick Kyrgios. And that is certainly, I think you've seen throughout the ATP Cup and then over the last couple of days at the Australian Open, that has changed. He even apologised for berating his corner after the match last night. But there is the thing is, there is a real appetite within the AOC for Kyrgios to be part of that team in Tokyo in July. And Nick, to the point where Nick Kyrgios has told them he wants to be in the athlete's village and not in separate hotels, which is very rare for a sports person of that celebrity and of that profile.
Yeah, well, Webby.
It's so turning of a corner for him.
Webby, I know why he wants to stay in the athlete's village. Come on, please. He'd be flying. Hey, just on that, we were talking before, well, not on that, but what Loz and I were sort of saying that...
Well, we have.
We have, earlier in the week. But say with Nick and how he was blowing up at his corner, I personally don't have an issue with that. We see Craig Bellamy in the box every week, and we see others, blowing up, and we make a bit of a fun of it, and go, oh, how funny, belly aches off again. How come with Nick, when he's sort of blowing up, even at his own team, we all get all offended?
I think it's probably because it's everything else that goes around with him, that's been going on for so long, all the drama that's been associated with him. I agree. Look, I go in and out of my love of Nick Kyrgios. You can't deny how talented he is. Like, he's just been mesmerising to watch, particularly with the way he gets on that, his return of serve is ridiculous. Like, he's just got that much natural ability. It's how he acts around the chair umpire, lines people, ball kids back in the day. Some of the inappropriate stuff he's gone on with in press conferences. I'm okay when he demolishes a journalist for asking a stupid question, that's fair enough. But if he wants to sit there and abuse his corner, that's fine. It's just when he's having a massive crack at officials, that's when it's out of control. I can't believe that he didn't get suspended when he whacked that ball at the umpire's chair and said, "Oops, sorry, that was a mistake." If that was in any other sport, he would have been suspended. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. It's how he acts when he loses. That's the big telling point. He's got Nadal and Federer on his side of the draw, so we'll probably know in the next week whether it's the new Nick.
Yeah, well, I like Kyrgios. As long as he's not being disrespectful to others and he doesn't give up when he's playing, I want him to win because he's someone that I love watching play, and there's a bit of theatre around him. I think if everyone was the same as Roger Federer, we'd have a boring... Well, this is only me personally. We could have a boring sport.
Exactly. Heroes and villains. We need them in all sports.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it'd be pretty boring.
Hey, talking about heroes and villains, rugby league. Plenty of heroes and villains. What's the latest with South Sydney, mate? And their attempt to get Jai Arrow, offloading Adam Dewey, the signing of Latrell Mitchell. Mate, I remember you saying on this program that South said they didn't want Latrell, or they couldn't sign Latrell before I went away.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? You would have thought all this was sorted before you went on holidays. I thought it was going to be sort of before I went on holiday or before I got back from holidays in December. So Latrell thought, look, what happened there, Loz, was that there was certainly, you know, some people at South who thought Jai Arrow was the priority. And there were some people that thought Latrell Mitchell was the priority.
Yeah.
And you know, Latrell was too good a proposition to not snap up. So now it's forcing Adam Dewey to want to get out of the club because he was first told by South that he was going to play 5-8 ahead of Cody Walker, would you believe? If Cody Walker didn't re-sign, he did. Latrell Mitchell came and then he was no longer going to be wanted at fullback. So it's turned into this Mexican standoff between the West Tigers and South Sydney about whether Adam Dewey's going to go there next year. I think the Tigers are playing poker with a bad hand. They've got about $1 million in their cap with three spots to fill in their 30-man roster. Less than 2 months out from the start of the season, they couldn't get Mitchell, they couldn't get Jai Arrow, and now they're sort of balking at paying maybe a little bit over for Adam Dewey when they need an outside back. So I expect Dewey to end up there at some stage, but I just think it's going to play out a little bit longer. I know his management are getting frustrated with how it's being played out. But for mine, like, there's all this talk about Addo Carr coming to South. South yesterday said that's not going to be possible. The Storm said the same thing. They're not going to be comfortable with, you know, Alex Johnston or Dane Gagai in as a swap for Addo Carr because he's a New South Wales and Australian winger. I just think, I keep saying it on this show every Friday, if the NRL is not looking at the contract system, the way that's played out this year and that there is a desperate need for transfer windows, yeah, as well as the way the player managers are going about their business and doing deals for players they don't represent, then, you know, in any other sport, this wouldn't be happening because the sanctions are so heavy. So I think there needs to be a serious look at the way players are transferred between clubs.
I 100% agree. Do you believe anybody after what happened this summer in regards when you ring them up and say, no, we're not interested, no? Like, do you just sit there and go, this bloke's full of it?
You know what? There used to be honour amongst thieves back in the day, boys. No longer.
Yeah.
But again, it's because of the system that they're operating under makes it so speculative. You know, it makes clubs play hardball where the Roosters are threatening Latrell Mitchell with reserve grade to try and move him on, you know, because he said no to their first offer. You know, I don't necessarily blame anyone. I blame the system the more and more that it's sort of dragged out throughout this summer. And I have to say, in the past, things used to get done before Christmas, and now it's dragging on further and further into January. And the Dewey examples, you know, that to me, that's ridiculous because he's a 21-year-old kid who's abundantly talented, a clean skin, and he's under enormous stress about what his future is going to look like. Where before Christmas he thought he was flying. So I just think the NRL, they need to address it sooner than later.
Yeah, we had some headlines about player behaviour, in particular Josh Reynolds and Marcosivo. And there's been some clubs and people wanting to know whether they'll be available to start the season the NRL competition. What are you hearing?
Well, they're going to make a decision, the NRL, before the Nines, which is mid-February. So Sivo, I think he goes back to court, or his matter is before a Fijian court in February. Josh Reynolds isn't until July. If I'm a Manly supporter, I'm asking the question, like I did of the NRL yesterday, what's the difference between Dylan Walker and these two cases, particularly Josh Reynolds? And the NRL's response is that they're still trying to gather evidence. The integrity unit is still doing its best to try and gather as much evidence and work with the police as closely as possible to determine whether Josh Reynolds should be stood down or not. There's all manner of speculation around the incident involving him and his estranged girlfriend. I expect that there'll be a decision mid-February, but it's a tough one for the NRL because they made a lot of noise, as we all remember, a year ago about how they were going to be stronger when it came to police charges involving women. So Todd Greenberg's got to get on the front foot sooner than later and make a call. The NRL says because the season hasn't started yet, Dylan Walker was right on the eve of the season. That's why they made the decision then. But the Tigers need to know whether they need a new hooker. You know, that's just the harsh reality of the situation. So again, it's a messy one for the league.
Now, what about just quickly? We've got Barnsley. Now, is Barnsley going to lock in? They're not going to wheel Tina out, fair dinkum, at the Grand. She doesn't leave Switzerland.
Unless they cryogenically freeze her and bring her out. Maybe that's the chance. Tina's 80 and she won't. Look, I sort of broke this story last year about how the NRL wanted to celebrate 30 years since Simply the Best. Tina was a long shot to come out because of her age and she just doesn't perform live anymore. And as you said, rarely leaves Switzerland. But they're trying to get Barnsley, who you'll remember, did the campaign and sung the song with her in 92 for the grand final at the SCG. So the NRL will launch their season. I think Tina singing the song from back in the day will be front and centre of the game's promotion this year. But don't be surprised if old Jimmy is belting it out at the SCG in early October.
Jeez, turn back time. All right, mate.
Mate.
No, I know that shirt, but I'm just saying, turn back time. What about Loz?
Oh, thanks, Molly Milton.
Oh, thanks. Hey, do yourself a favour, Webby. Go out and get it. No, mate, have a fantastic Australia Day weekend, mate, and we will talk to you next week.
Good on you, boys.